This whole month, alhamdulillah, the barakat, the blessings, the mercies of this month, the gifts, the rewards, the treasures we've discussed in every masjid, in every place, in every location. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the blessed month of Ramadan. We have discussed the ni'mas of Ramadan, the rewards of Ramadan, the gift of Ramadan, and today such a time has come now, the days have come now, alhamdulillah, which the pious predecessors have called the, you could say, the summary of Ramadan, the pinnacle of Ramadan, the peak of Ramadan. Those days, those moments have come, alhamdulillah, we're grateful to Allah, we're grateful to Allah, we're grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity, He's given us this chance that we've reached to this time, to these moments. Ramadan has given a lot to the human beings, to the people of Iman, to the people of belief, and the most ajeeb barakah, the most unique blessing of Ramadan was this, that the whole of the deen, the way of life of a person, of mankind, is refreshed. Rather, not just deen, but physically and spiritually, both parts, the Qur'an has refreshed. This deen, this month has been refreshed. This deen has been refreshed physically and spiritually by this month of Ramadan. Physically, that if we see the stomach and the digestive system of a person, human being, that causes all of the illnesses. And with the barakah of Ramadan, this eliminates all of the illnesses and problems, physical problems. And alhamdulillah, we have such a course in 1 year that the biggest of diseases and illnesses are rooted out in this month. And alhamdulillah, the stomach, totally inside the liver, the kidney, the stomach, they all start to work in a good way. And we should consider that Ramadan does the MOT of the body for the rest of the year, subhanAllah, with the fadl of Allah. And this same situation is with respect to the spiritual effect of man. While there should be greater spiritually, what is the feeling that when a person, when his whole body is refreshed, and his whole ruh is refreshed spiritually. And just as we know the importance of the deen, Allah Ta'ala has given us the ahkams, all of the ahkams are touched upon, those things that we have forgotten, the things that we have no importance for in our lives. There's no part of the deen that Ramadan doesn't pay attention to, focus on, and doesn't reach to and make us aware of. Why? Because the most important thing for us in the deen, the most important thing for us in the deen, the maqam of this is just like in the body, we have salah. So salah, it is refreshed and revised in this month. And Ramadan reminds us about salah in such a way that all day long we pray, and before it departs the day, it makes us pray 20 rakats. So it refreshes this ibadah. If it takes us to 20 rakat, then there are very few people who won't pray 5 afterwards, will they? If they could pray 20 every night, and he comes back tired and he listens to the whole Quran. So Ramadan takes us to that height as well. So if a person makes a little bit of effort after, he gets a solid routine in his life, that the rest of the year, with ease, he can pray 5 times salah. So this is the logic of Ramadan, very beautiful logic. In the same way, we see that the other parts of ibadat, for example, the other side of practice is to leave the sins. And this is the base of fasting, that a person shouldn't do anything bad, he shouldn't do a sin, otherwise his fast will be spoiled. So we want to save ourselves from sins. So 30 days if we stay away from haram and sins and gossip mongering and looking at bad things with the eyes and committing haram deeds, because this is the person who keeps the fast, is exercising this caution. We won't go into haram, we will eat halal, consume halal, not go towards haram. Any action that spoils the fast, as the ulema have explained, we'll have to do those actions. If we don't, then there will be no fast. So those who have kept these fasts, alhamdulillah, when they depart from Ramadan, then they have a solid routine and good habits to leave the sins. And a person leaves many sins. So good habits come and bad habits go. Just like, for example, somebody smokes cigarettes or people do other things. Obviously, 19 hours if you don't smoke a cigarette, then if you have a little bit of courage and determination during the fast, then the rest of your life you can leave the cigarettes smoking. So Ramadan allows us to become refreshed physically and spiritually, and it gives us big messages and big rewards and gifts. Now today the situation This is, as I said, the pinnacle, the peak of Ramadan. There's one final message that Ramadan wants to give to us. One message. Why? Because Ramadan, Quran, the whole of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan, the mercies of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan, they all come together at their peak in the final ashra, the final third of Ramadan. And the summary, the peak of the final ashra is in the odd nights, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. These are the odd nights. And the peak of Ramadan is within these odd nights. And the whole of the peak of these odd nights is in Laylatul Qadr. Say Subhanallah. And Laylatul Qadr is when? Now upon this, Alhamdulillah, as the ulema, the respected scholar said, that some say 21, 23, 25, they split. But quite a few of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, well, the one companion, Ubay bin Ka'b, he said that I swear by this fact. It's a big point. He was a great Sahabi, and he had the knowledge of the Quran, and he had titles. And if we start on his status and knowledge, there's a lot of praise. And he said, I swear that the night of Qadr is on the 27th of the night. So, okay, fair enough. We have at least reached to this night. So what is tonight? Today, the 27th night. So the 27th night is ahead of us. And the whole of the summary of Ramadan is within this. And the message we'll get in this night is a great message indeed. Because the 27th night, Ramadan is refreshing us with what? So you got the fast and the sins that we try to leave. So what is that message? We've gone through everything. The benefits of the fast, leaving the sins, doing good deeds. So there's a special message and purpose of that Allah Ta'ala wants to deliver in this night. Nubi is so important for us. The whole deen is based on this. Wala mu'amalat is based on this. Everything of us, our bunyada, our foundation is based on this. And if this foundation is not there, then we are nothing indeed. Nothing at all. So we're speaking about that today. The foundation of our deen. And the peak of Ramadan. What is that? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. The Qur'ani hakeem. The Qur'ani azeem. Furqani hamid. Qur'ani majid. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night, the night of laylatul qadr, night of power, Allah ta'ala has praised, before praising the night of qadr, Allah has praise the message, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adaraka ma laylatul qadr. So laylatul qadr's greatness has been explained after. First, Allah Ta'ala mentions what? The message. Allah Ta'ala has refreshed it within Ramadan. Because it is such an important message, the Qur'an Hakim, in our lives, that this is the foundation. This is the foundation. And the foundation of our deen is the Qur'an, and everything runs with the guidance of the Qur'an. If we have a link with the Qur'an, then consider Allah is happy. And if our connection is not with the Qur'an, then Allah is not happy with us. So all of destruction, loss, and kharafat, and negativities, and problems, and distress, and dhulam, oppression, everything that's there in the dunya, whether it's at home, outside, in our countries, wherever it is, on whatever level, on the qawm, on those individuals in those homes, where there is no Qur'an, that is where the problems arise. And this is the message of today. So Ramadan tells us that on this night of Laylatul Qadr, we have to explain that, we have to consider how much link do we have with the Qur'an. So it's no point just crying, oh, there's a lot of dhulam, there's oppression, we've got problems, difficulties, we're under a lot of difficulties, night, day, we hear about these things. Oh, this is happening and we need to help these people, etc. There's one means to success. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Mahmud al-Hassan, Qudus Surah, Rahmatullah, he said a beautiful, unique point. That 80 years after crying, what a great personality, you spent life in jail, struggle. He said, the 80 years, the summary of my life, Shaykh al-Hind. Distress, problems, issues, whatever comes to a person, will come at that time to a person when the ummah or the human being leaves this Qur'an. When we leave this Qur'an, it cannot be, where there is Qur'an and connection with the Qur'an, there cannot be problems from Allah or adab or oppression. No, it cannot be. They will not come there. The sole reason is where we have cut off our link with the Qur'an. That is where the problems, or when the problems will arise. So the Quran is telling us this in the final days. Strengthen your link with the Quran. That if we don't have a strong link with the Quran, we'll be at loss in this world and in the hereafter. And there's one reason we're at loss today. We don't have Quran. We have Qurans on our shelves. We have printed nice copies. We have Qurans in our homes. We have colorful Qurans. But in our lives, how much Quran is there? Let's just imagine. Let's think about it. How much Quran is in our lives? Yes, the first haqq of the Qur'an, the first right of the Qur'an is what? The first right of the Qur'an is to recite the Qur'an, subhanallah, to read the Qur'an. Yes, this is lazim on us, that we need to read the Qur'an, isn't it? This is the first haqq of the Qur'an, which is on every mu'min and mu'minat. Yes, our day cannot start, remember. Our day cannot start unless we don't recite the Qur'an. Our day shouldn't start without Qur'an. Our day should not begin without the recitation of the Qur'an. And it is written that at least every mu'min, it is necessary that in a month we should complete the recitation of the Qur'an. Yes, at least once in the month. Yes, so how are we being reminded? Imam al-Anbiya, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this month of Ramadan, he would read the Quran twice, revise the Quran with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Yes, twice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would revise the Quran with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And we see that when the Quran came, there was Quran upon Quran. And how the Quran was revealed. And we've heard the whole Quran. I spoke about reading. We should hear in the salah, somebody finished quickly, somebody finished in 10 days, somebody finished in 7 days. Has this not happened? That same qawm, all year long, they don't touch the Quran, they don't look at the Quran. That where is the Quran kept? That same qawm, those same people, when Allah Ta'ala has reminded us, our Mawla, our Lord, our Creator, because Allah Ta'ala is refreshing everything of our deen in this month. So after Salah, the second, and there's no Salah mentioned here. Even Salah is dependent on the Quran. If you don't know Quran, how will you pray Salah? So it's lazim, you should know at least that many verses that you can read the Quran. Isn't this the case? Yes, on such an occasion, that for example, we've been taught and explained that this is Laylatul Qadr that we are present in. This is not some minor night, my friends. This is a great night. Laylatul Qadr, the night of Laylatul Qadr. And the whole of the summary of Laylatul Qadr is what the Quran tells us, explains to us. So Laylatul Qadr, the night of Laylatul Qadr, what happens is that after some hours, the dunya will change. In front of us, we think this is the same dunya, physical dunya, but the spiritual world totally will flip and change. If only we had the vision, basirat, we have basar, but we don't have the basirat that with our eyes we can see that. What's happened suddenly in the world? There's such angels, there will be, such things will unravel that a person will remain surprised. What's happened? This is Laylatul Qadr. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, who is the head of all of the angels, and he, with a great group of the angels, he's the head, the chief of the angels. Imagine what angels will come with him. That they will have never seen the world, they will not have seen me or you. Where are these people sitting? These people, these animals. So, ruhani, spiritually immersed in nur, in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah, subhanAllah, those who rotate around the arsh. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, who's the head and the chief of all of the angels, he will come with a special cabinet of angels. Imagine what angels there will be. And just after a few hours, this will start. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Yes. So how fortunate we are. They will descend. And what will be the start? Where will they descend and go to? They won't come to Bolton. Straight they will go to the pivot point of the world, the fulcrum. They will go to Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah. And after going there, they'll go to Baytullah, the house of Allah, and they will descend with a standard from the heavens. It will be a green colored standard flag, and that will be placed at the house of Allah. And the Mufassirin, the commentators, that they will come with a green flag that they will place in Baytullah, because the green flag is a link with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this standard, this flag is explained that in the whole of the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah will spread and his tariqah will stay forever in the world. And successful is that person who follows his tariqah, who follows and imitates and obeys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and practically observes his sunnah. So that standard flag will be placed in Makkatul Mukarramah, Baytullah. And Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah knows how many wings he has, but 600 of his wings will be spread out. Wallah. The friends of Allah say, what is the hikmah in him spreading his wings? And what is the hikmah hidden for us? What is the rahmah, the wisdom of with the fadl of Allah? So his 600 wings will be spread out across the world, the heavens and earth, and from west to east, east to west, his wings will spread out with the fadl of Allah, subhanallah. And all of his special cabinet of angels will be given an order that go and wander around the whole world and seek out the mu'mineen and the mu'minat, the men and women, the brothers and sisters. You see those, where you see those men and women, there are two words in the hadith, that man or woman you see in this state, that either they are praying salah or they are doing the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, then it is lazim on you that you go and do musafa, shake their hands, and when they say ameen, then with their du'as you also say ameen. Subhanallah. This is tonight. This is what we need to do, my friends. How long is this night? Not that, oh, we just wasted in chit-chat, gossip-mongering. Oh, it's very great, Laylatul Qadr, and there's a lot of noor and fadail, etc. Do. This is the night to do, my friends. What a great point here. Yes? So this is that night that we're facing now. And then, until Fajr. Until Fajr, this will continue in the whole world. Look how great, how big is this dunya. Yeah? And this action will continue across the whole world. I remember, I always say on the night of Qadr, on the Laylatul Qadr, that by chance, Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, just like you will, and by chance, I was also there in Masjid al-Nabwi, the Prophet's Mosque, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Ramadan with the fadl of Allah. And by chance, the opportunity came. You go regularly, and I went once. And by chance, there was a friend, an old friend, acquaintance who stays in Medina, a pious person. And we had an acquaintance and a companionship from quite a long time. So after the morning after the 27th night, he said to me, the Hazrat, that last night was the night of Qadr. I saw this. I said, Hazrat, how comes you saw this? And he said, that ajeeb thing I saw. Ajeeb, unique. And subhanAllah. That this is the description that we've heard from the hadith. He saw this with his eyes, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. He said, I've seen an ajeeb thing here, that suddenly, soon as the sun set after Maghrib, then I saw that this whole world had changed. And the angels, the hujum, masses of angels had descended, and they were wearing green libas. And subhanAllah, that's the same color as the standard, the flag of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was an ajeeb feeling in the world. It was a lengthy description. I'll tell you the summary. He said after that, just as the hadith states, that when the Fajr time comes, when the time of the night ends, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to his angels, come back everybody, come back, subhanAllah. So those angels, they suddenly in the same way, they gather in Makkah, then they shoot up to the heavens. Subhanallah. So from Jibreel alayhi salam, he discusses with them, he speaks to them, the angels say that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam says that, what do you do for the ummah? You went to the world, you came back. Then they said that for the ummah we did this. And these are the words of the hadith, that I did dua to Allah for Allah's rahmah and mercy, and Allah Ta'ala's mercy has forgiven those people, the men and women, mu'mineen, mu'minat. So who was in there? There were four people who were named that they will not be forgiven. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Look at this point here. Yes, that four individuals, as a Jibreel alayhi salam, that when I said this, the four individuals were not forgiven. Number one, that person who is busy in intoxication, who drinks alcohol, or they get drunk on other things, Allah will not forgive them on this night. Number two, the person who disobeys his mother and father, the disobedience child of the mother and the father. Yes, for example, salam on those people, alhamdulillah, that the children, when they see their parents in old age, and Allah gives them an opportunity, they never to their father or mother say uff at all. They don't even mind anything of their parents. What are you doing? Don't you know what's going on? I mean, you heard, I spoke. Always you keep on pestering me, and you keep on saying this to my children and this to my wife, that you shouldn't do this, etc. Is this not common amongst us folk? Allahu Akbar. There's such a big sin, my friends. This night we're being reminded, our deen is refreshing us, Ramadan is departing. Beware, beware. Mother and father is a big name. Okay, they are old, they become weak, they don't have that strength or that power, they don't have that jalal, they cannot slap you to correct you or grab hold of your ears. Those things are finished. But have you forgotten that your father, how much he tried hard to rear you, to bring you up, how he reared you up and he worked hard, and maybe he lied for you and committed fraud for you due to love for you, how much Jahannam he must have earned for you. And today your parents, your mother and father, in that position, they're daif, they're weak, they don't have the strength, and you're standing in front of them and challenging them. So salam on those people, alhamdulillah, on their deen, on their salah, on their Quran, and on their mashayikh who have created such a noor. Say subhanallah. Such a noor they've created that those individuals, that if they don't see their parents' face, they don't feel satisfaction or sukoon. Subhanallah. Yes, when they don't see the coolness of the vision of their parents, then they get the sukoon, the peace. They know that this is my mother. Maybe she's wrong. She's committing excess. He knows she's committing excess. She's doing wrong. But they don't tell their parents off. Rather do dua that Allah Ta'ala, please be merciful for my mother so that she is not going to get punishment. Obviously she'll get punished if she does wrong, if she's not praying salah, or if she's not practicing the deen, or she's doing a wrong action, a sin, whatever she's doing. Even then there's a hukum then, that there's a masala that passed by me, that this father, the blessed father, and he is disabled, or he sits on the chair and he stays at home, and he says to his children that pray behind me. Now in Sharia the order is that a person who doesn't stand and pray, that you cannot do jama'ah behind that person. The ulama ikram have said this, the scholars. So somebody asked the question to the mufti, the hazrat, this is the situation that my father, and he prays salah by movements, and if we don't pray behind him, he shrieks out, and then our salah is not accepted. What should we do? What's the masala? He said, for this, first and foremost, that the alim that you consider that he has influence over the father, then he should give nasiyah to the father, advise, explain. If he doesn't come to his understanding even then you have to pray behind him, and your salah will not be accepted, but then you repeat that salah afterwards. Subhanallah, look how the deen takes us to the heights. So what is it? What Quran have we got in our hearts? What deen is this? What salah is this in our homes with our mother and father? We have bad relationships. What will happen then to us? What will happen then to us? Tell me, explain to me. So it's obvious there are many old people sitting in front of me. There are very few young people here. So what do you think? That these words should reach to who? To the youngsters, the younger generation. But what have we done with them? First and foremost, this is the environment in this country that they don't enter into the masjids, the children. Today is the majlis of dhikr. Nobody's son has come. Nobody's youngsters from the family have come. Nobody's children have come or child has come. Tell me. There's no importance. How valuable words we're discussing, the moments. This will come after another year, these moments. This is the last dhikr of Monday in Ramadan. Subhanallah, this dhikr Allah, that today Jibreel alayhi salam has given hukum to his angels. They go and shake the hand of those people, that man, that woman. Those people are doing my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says. And imagine today's majlis, how great it will be. But our children haven't come. Our family has not come. We don't even have the tawfiq in our homes that dhikr goes via the speaker, the system. And we don't have the tawfiq to listen. Most yaqeen and definitely the reason for this is that our children are such that we also committed excesses against our parents. So the same will happen with our children. So the biggest point here is that to select such a country or such a place where your iman, where it is being crushed, where your children, their deen is being eliminated, this is the biggest mistake, I tell you, the biggest mistake. Yes, this sounds bitter to us. Yes, for the sake of our stomachs, we go to such places and do hijrah, we migrate to such countries or lands and set up stool and stay there, stuck there, where we have no worry for our children or our deen. An artificial deen is created there. That my words are bitter, but this is reality. This is reality. Shall I tell you what's coming in my heart? Shall I tell you? Alhamdulillah, there's a hujum that comes. They come from Hindustan, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh to collect money here. Charity, they come to get the collection. Yes, they come to get money. If only they came to say that your children, they have become spoiled, they look after your children. We come to remind you. Is this a place of money? Yes, that somebody should have some feelings for us, our children, our awlad, our daughters, our sons, insan. Is this the deen in our homes that we see naked women in our homes and young women, we look at them with our bare eyes, we do acts of immodesty. And just taking all of the Quran, this does not give us the achievement. Yeah, they're swearing, disrespect to the parents, their libas, their face, their shakal, their actions. And this is our children in the dunya. Dunya is for a few days. The parda will stay in front of us and then all will be bare. Tell me that refreshment that Ramadan is given to us in the final third, in the final odd nights, in Laylatul Qadr, that Ramadan is given to us, that the biggest mistake is this, that for earning money, this is not the place of making money and giving charity and donation. The madrasa of Deoband was under a tree. Nobody went there to ask for chanda and charity. There's nothing wrong with that. But what is this? The concept behind this. That where we are coming, look at our hal, our situation, that you will run your madrasa, alhamdulillah. But what about us? That we are lost out here. That our families are lost out. They're falling into the darkness. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. What will happen to us? What will happen to our children? Yes, this is the gathering, Laylatul Qadr. Yes, and today will be Khatmul Quran, won't it? Today, what a great night, end of the Quran recitation. Yes, so we'll come at that time, and this is also a tradition now. A tradition has been made, though it's not been explained to us or taught to us on Laylatul Qadr, that you finish the Quran like this, etc. Many ulama ikram, the scholars, this was their general routine. Great ulama ikram, great scholars, Hazrat Rashid, Muddazul Ali, rahmatullahi, what a great alim. He was the head of Jami Rashidiyya. And from the ulema, he had a high status, and his example was given always. What would happen? That when Laylatul Qadr would come, and soon as Laylatul Qadr came and the Quran was completed, he would stand up and say that everyone do your own dua. No need to dim the lights, and he'd get up and go. He wouldn't do collective dua. So this is, it's sabit, proven to do dua. But when something becomes a habit, tradition, we don't have the pain in the heart, and we advertise today, there'll be gariya, there'll be crying, and we'll do dua with crying. The crying's not in our control. We cannot allow the tears to drop. Is this a drama? Is this a game? So we're going to pay respects. Are we? Is this what we're doing? Or what do we call it? Ajeeb situation we've got around us. Ajeeb situation. So this is the night in which we should cry ourselves. We should beg ourselves and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can ask for me? Somebody else. Yes, I'm doing dua. And this dua is not in your heart. And your problems, your request to Allah is something else. So Allah Ta'ala is speaking to his servant during dua. The servant tells Allah his situation. Maybe there's a pain in my eye. And you're doing dua for something else. And I'm crying. I've got pain in my eyes. So I will say to Allah to help me in the pain of my eye. Whereas your request and your pain will be something else. Or in my home, my child has become a renegade, run away. My daughter has become useless and they're sinning. They're in a bad situation. They smoke drugs or cannabis. So what do I ask for? From Allah, I will explain my story to Allah. I'll be crying. I'll be asking that, how do I ask you, Allah Ta'ala, for what I need? Allah, please give me what I need. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Am I saying the right or the wrong things? So this is what we need to understand and implement. So this is a drama. We don't feel like asking Allah, what shall we ask from Allah? We keep on asking, we don't need to ask tonight, etc. We don't ask Allah Ta'ala sincerely. So this is the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, a great night indeed, my friends. So four people will not be forgiven. First person who drinks alcohol or is intoxicated. Secondly, who disobeys his parents or disrespects his parents. And third, the person who does not promote the relationship. From today, mine and your relationship is finished. Uncle, auntie, cousin, little bit of a squabble, and the relationships are ended. The inheritance is not given to the sisters. The warasat is not given to the sisters. And years pass away. And do you think that those people are not sat in the jannah to eat one penny of warasat? Do we give to the women? They don't give to the women. The daughters, they sign. They write on this, that what do you need to do with this money? This will not be useful for you. And then we're celebrating Laylatul Qadr on top of this. And the name is written. That these people, their names are not written. Take their names off the list. Yes? And I will tell you the dream of the pious elder. Not a dream, but basirat. He had the vision. He saw that what is the reality of Laylatul Qadr. And the fourth person is that person who keeps hatred and malice in his heart. This is dangerous. I mean, you're sitting here, and in my heart I feel against this brother. Oh, I want to destroy him. I want him to be finished off. And then we laugh and smile at the person. This is ghubuz, bughz. Very, very big sin indeed. In homes we have this, in children, amongst the children, amongst the parents, between the parents and the children. You can be doing whatever you want, but there's bughz in your heart. That I hate this person, extreme malice and hatred. So Allah Ta'ala dislikes this action. That the mu'min is like a mirror. Whatever's inside should be outside at the same time. Yes, so don't commit acts of drama. Yes, so these big sins, do dua on this night. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala allows us to annihilate these sins. And that's why to annihilate sins, we go to the pious elders, the mashayikh. We learn dhikr of Allah. We serve them. We pick up their shoes. And this cleanliness, that you can only get this cleanliness from the sadaqah of their shoes, not from tazkiyah. That's why the person goes, he has a feeling, a negative, that this disease will come out of my heart. How? That he turns towards the khanka, because pride never ends, never ends. The more you try to eliminate pride from ibadah, your takabur will increase. I read Quran this much today, I read this much la today, I prayed nafil today. And all of these things will end at what time? When you sit in the company of the wali of Allah. So that's when a person will realize that what is the result of the deeds. And if we die in these wretched states committing these sins, then what will be our hal today? We're sitting, Laylatul Qadr is here, we're seeing how many Qurans have I recited, how many tawafs have I done, and this and that. We're thinking like this. Has anybody thought that do I do this sin? That does anybody have in their chest this bad feeling? That was I hard to my mother? That what did I ever tell off my father? Did he ever give me a hukam that I did not fulfill? That I rejected the hukam? Thousands of stories will come out from our hearts and minds. We will have ignored our parents up to that time. And we will have shunned them to the side. So tonight we need to think that, is my name cut off the list of those who will succeed? The pious elders have said that when Fajr time comes and they call out, then I saw such a thing. The dunya was like a globe, a round globe, small one. Don't know what maqam he was looking at this from. And every house, on every family, wherever the mu'minin and mu'minata, on every door there were two signs that the angels stamped. And forget about going in, that some people would go through those doors and some people couldn't. So I was looking at this, he said, with caution, and he says in the hadith, and those houses where there's music, singing, dancing, then the angels will not go where there are pictures and images. Tonight, those people are lost. Doesn't matter how much he calls out, how much an ashik that person is, whatever he claims. But the words of the hadith are complete. And that is what will give us the guidance, the deception of shaitan when it leaves. What house is there today that these things are not present in those homes? Tell me. Think. Yes, this is Laylatul Qadr for us. So it's stated that what happens in the heavens, that two signs were placed on the door, that such a house where there was salah, or there was a bit of gossip mongering and chit chat, and immodest women were sitting there whose libas in their faces, there's no haya, no modesty. It is stated, what did the angels do? Then they would put a red cross on that door of that abode. The wretched is here, and wretchedness will continue. Yes, so if naturally the sign, the cross comes, then consider the adab, the ghadab of Allah Ta'ala is coming on that place. Yes, and the event I'm telling you this. Yes, and he said that the person who passed the test, say Subhanallah, may we have those muqamah, then what would happen is that Subhanallah, that they would put a green approval sign there, and that would sparkle and glow, and a beautiful ajeeb light would come from there. So this is the sign of the jannati, that your jannah has been made, my friends. So this is the night of Qadr, the night of power. So this is Laylatul Qadr, to which we have arrived today. And in this night is the completion of Qur'an. So the first message of Qur'an in the night of power in Laylatul Qadr, what is the greatness of this message? That more than the night itself is the beautiful message of Laylatul Qadr, that we need to strengthen our link with the Quran. It's asking us, the first link with the Quran is what? Is that the Quran never ends. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yes, it doesn't complete. But as soon as a person gets to the end of the Quran, then he restarts. Alif Lam Mim. Does this not happen? Yes. So it's not proven. It's not proven, but this is what happens, generally speaking. Subhanallah. The pious elders have agreed on this point with the hadith. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we should have such a strong link with the Qur'an. Every mu'min and mu'minat, every brother and sister should have a strong link with the Qur'an, in front of the Qur'an. So much nisbat there should be, that all life long, if the Qur'an is still read, and still until the time of death, we can never complete the Qur'an. This is how strong should be our link. How? That as soon as the Qur'an, we get to the end to an-nas, then we should restart the Quran, because it cannot finish in the same way. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a beautiful example that just like a traveler, and after traveling he comes back and gets off and disembarks, then he sits on another horse and he starts the journey again and continues the journey. Say Subhanallah. A mu'min, it's not the sign of a mu'min that he leaves the Quran. Soon as the Quran ends restart. Go in a cycle. Not one day should be of our in our life should be devoid of reading Quran. At least minimum for every man, it's lazim that one Quran recitation should complete within the 1 month. Every month we should complete the recitation of the Quran. In 30 days, the Quran completion should be completed. This is the message of tonight of Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Allah said this verse, that I have revealed the Quran and on such a night, which I've described to you just now, this night the Quran has come to me. So Allah Ta'ala says, that tell me, such an important factor, and everything revolves around this. So what's your link, O Mu'min, with the Quran? You sat celebrating Ramadan. Your Ramadan hasn't been completed. What link do you have with the Quran? So let's promise that after today, that subhanallah, a hadith comes to my mind. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, said that in that home where there is no recitation of Quran, then that home is empty. A G point, the home is empty. Now, let's leave empty. What is it empty of? It's empty of all of the goodness, and by foot. No rahmah, no mercy, no fadl, no barakat, no rizq. Nothing will come. Nothing. Five people, and the five people, it's lazim on each one of them to recite Quran. I remember my father, may Allah Ta'ala send rahmah and nur upon his grave. Such caution that we'd be given, we did not get food, and we stayed in our rooms until my father didn't come downstairs. He said that if I don't hear the Quran recited in every room, nobody will get the breakfast. So from every room of us, mashallah, we had a few rooms there, and from every room we could hear the Quran being recited loudly. And in our locality, people used to wake up, they said, Ajee Mamla, what's happening, Sufi here? And we would continue reading according to our abilities, and higher volume or low volume, obviously we had to eat, after we'd get enjoyment, subhanAllah. But beware, every man would read Quran, every person, every individual would read Quran. So today, that I remember my father on Laylatul Qadr, and he gave such a great dua we've given to him. See the nisbat of the Quran. So brothers, that if our homes are empty, we run around crying, we go to amils, magicians, taweez, and this and that, potions. We've taken all of the means of the dunya to correct our issues. But Allah Ta'ala has given the prescription, the Quran. We don't grab hold of the Quran or practice it. Subhanallah. The Quran will never end. Rather, in the Quran is a life, a lease of life. Yes, so in our lives, in our lives, we should bring the recitation of the Quran. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stated another hadith that comes to my mind, that the Quran, in that home with this Quran, if we say there's no Quran, then it's empty. But in that Quran household where there's recitation of the Quran, everybody starts the day with the love of the Quran. We get up, we do wudu, alhamdulillah, we're free. And then until Ishraq, you do dhikr, you sat in dhikr, and after that, you start some Quran recitation in your home. Where? In your home. So we should have this system that after Fajr, what should we do? We should do the dhikr of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this, be lost, immersed in dhikr, in the same spot. Be lost in the dhikr of Allah. Now after doing dhikr, as soon as you pray Ishraq, then Allah gives the reward of one Hajj, one Umrah. Subhanallah. Because you've carried out the action according to Allah Ta'ala's design and instruction. So Allah Ta'ala could say, go home, etc. No. Allah says, first and foremost, open the Quran. Subhanallah. And bring the Quran into habit and daily lifestyle, and finish the Quran regularly, and then after that do other actions. So many barakat will come in the home, in the house. Alhamdulillah, don't ask, noor ala noor the house will become. Say subhanallah. So will we all do this? True promise. Yes, we're not going to drive the taxi, we're not going to start work until and unless that this practice of Fajr in Jamaat and alongside Jamaat, dhikr Allah. This was the practice all of the Sahaba. Why? Because this was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dhikr, and after being free from dhikr, going to home and reciting Quran, because the house should not be devoid of the Quran. What do? We recite here the Quran in the masjid, the home, then that's fine. But no, why do you leave your home empty? Go home, read, sit and read, and the angels will try to make the event that the angels come to your home. Why run to other angels by chance? Oh, for example, you're in a rush, you have to go to the hospital, there's an emergency. Then today, mashallah, shaitan, he has given us the extra technology, or we utilize that technology, and we can keep in touch. Subhanallah, and the Quran comes out from there. In the same way, keep on reading the Quran. You can use the device to do that and recite one whole juz. Now, one wisdom point, I'll tell you, they say, no, we should understand the Quran, the meanings, and what's the point of reading the Quran without knowing the understanding, the meaning? So the ulama kiram said that this is total nonsense. The first right of the Quran is what? Tilawati Quran, recitation of the Quran. Leave the sadness after that. Oh, we can understand, we know, we understand, we reflect, and let's go. Go. This is a good thing. But due to this reason, that we should not leave the reading of the Quran for this reason. Yes, we should not leave the reading of the Quran for this reason. That just to do tilawat, if we think ourselves, that if a person is reading Quran, The person who's reading Quran, he's reading the Quran. But if somebody comes and listens to the Quran, then on every letter he'll get 10 rewards as well, that person. SubhanAllah, think. So the person, what will he get? The person who recites, tell me. Tell me. So is reciting some minor action in life? A minor action? And after that, the next haq, the next rite of the Quran, which is bigger than this. What is that? SubhanAllah, to live our lives according to the Quran. That the Quran will complain that these people, they left me in their lives. The people, they are going towards Jahannam. And there's one reason for this. There was one reason for this. Just one reason. And the Quran is telling us, and no other reason, that these individuals had left the Quran. If they recited, then they didn't go beyond that. They didn't do amal upon the Quran. They didn't live their lives according to the Quran. What the Quran said was haram, he didn't consider haram. What was said as halal, he didn't consider as halal, lawful. And they went beyond this. Another hadith of Abu Dawood is coming to my mind. And these beautiful hadith come to mind in these great times. That's the benefit of sitting with the pious predecessors. Those days, for example, when we'd sit down, and technology wasn't the same, and mashallah, the mind would work. And today, the computer of the brain is revising and reminding. SubhanAllah, so when I sit with you pious people, then the good points come out. And beautiful hadith is coming to mind, and the hadith of Abu Dawood. And how many people will hear this, SubhanAllah, tell me? That such an opportunity where you are sat, and who will have heard this? The hadith in Abu Dawood. And in the hadith, it has been said that the person who reads the Quran, what has been said? The person who reads the Quran, the talawat that I told you, the person who reads the Quran and does amal on the Quran, practices the Quran, then his father will wear such a crown that the light of that crown will reach high up to the heavens, and will be even shinier than the sun. SubhanAllah. That Jannah is full of light. Tell me, the mother and the father, SubhanAllah. Just like I mentioned to you about your father. Yes, for me and you. Today's father says, quickly come out. Got to go to the market and money. Do this, do that. Haven't you gone to work yet? When will you go to work? You were sitting and doing talawat. You've become a maulvi. Get out of it. Yeah, you don't do dhikr. And you just keep doing dhikr and just do talawat and recitation. And they don't like the son when he comes to the deen. And the mother and father, they don't like that child who's practicing them. But these are the type of children we want. How much money is coming to your pocket? How much are you going to give to us? We should have a car. That's it. No mal, no money. We just should have a house. That's it. All the items of the dunya. So that mother and father who read and they did amal on the Quran, for example, we've read the Quran, Aqimus Salat, and we are explained to that this is a haram, we'll leave the haram. If somebody thinks that this is undesirable, we'll leave it. So when a person embarks on this journey, SubhanAllah, after talawat, then what happens? Such a noor comes to the person. And the Mufassirin have written here that the person who is consistent on this amal, that such a big reward has been given to the parents. Then imagine the reward for that person. In which light will he be in Jannah? What will be given to that person due to the connection with the Quran? And one thing final, I'll tell you now. What is that? That tilawat, recitation, just reading the Quran, SubhanAllah. Just if we recite the Quran, then this is such an asset, the recitation of the Quran, that automatically, it brings a person towards amal, practice, and this deception ends. Remember this point of mine. This deception, no, tafsir first, commentary first, then three lines, etc. Leave all of this. Allah Ta'ala said that just read. It's your job to read, and it's my job to make you do the amal, practice, SubhanAllah. Yes, such a preparation Allah Ta'ala makes himself to such places. Allah Ta'ala sends the provisions, the resources, and automatically the person who's prayed and come. So what do we need to do is just close our eyes and read the Quran, and the Quran should come out of our mouths continually. And SubhanAllah, all the surahs, just like here, the person said the 15 juz he reads, mashallah, 15 juz. He's ill, he's got deficiencies, restrictions, but this is the beautiful factor of the Quran, that whoever has love with the Quran, whatever happens, whatever situation is, the Quran doesn't leave that person. If he hasn't left Quran, then how will the Quran leave that person? SubhanAllah, he won't leave him in the grave, nor on the day of Hashar, not on the day of resurrection, nor on the bridge of Sirat. He won't even leave him in Jannah. In Jannah, he will do an action, SubhanAllah. What will happen? That you'll keep on reciting and you'll be elevated even more. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala will say that you used to pray and recite in the well and now you forgot to me. But foolish person, this is the time to earn the keep. Read now, isn't it? You keep on reciting and see how you'll be elevated in the maqamats, the levels of Jannah, SubhanAllah. So is this a true promise? on the night of Qadr? What is the promise? Shall I repeat? Yes, so that we don't forget. First of all, that we need, if we want to get Laylatul Qadr, then there are four things we need to understand. Number one, may not be that we are from those who get intoxicated. If we are getting drunk or intoxicated, then we should leave those actions. But if we want Jahannam, then keep on smoking. It's not just cannabis, even music, singing. These are all drugs. So we need to eliminate this. Number two, to serve the mother and father. Number three, if we cannot serve them, then at least don't be disrespectful to them. Don't dishonor them. Okay, if you cannot serve them, you cannot give money. But at least don't be disrespectful and stand rude in front of them. And number three, number four, relationships. Connection with the relatives. Okay, salam. No, don't say this. No. If this maqam comes, that's good. But if he's swearing and you're smiling, if somebody is disrespectful to you and you're smiling, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever breaks, make with that person. Yes, whoever breaks, then make with that person. Then that's why we're discussing this topic. And the fourth thing, subhanallah. Do you remember or have you forgotten? Well, what will we do then? Bughz, malice, hatred. These 4 points solid now. So whenever you sleep, because we are human beings, say, Allah, that please take out from my heart. Allah, please forgive me. Allah, please take these bad things out of my heart. And say, Allah, please take this out. And if it doesn't come out of the heart, then the coolness should not come. And I'm telling you this, that taking the steps is our job, and to take us out of the predicament is Allah Ta'ala's duty. But straight away, shaitan makes us mayus, despondent, and sad. Oh, how will this happen? You've done dhulm to people, and today, in front of people, you've sworn at him. Forget this, forget what I am saying. No. Until Allah Ta'ala does not take that bad, ill feeling out of my heart. Subhanallah. So four things we have to do. Will we do this, my brothers? Not just today, but the rest of our lives, inshallah. And the biggest action of today, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That everything will leave in the world. Everything will be left behind. But what will we not leave? The Qur'an. It will stay attached to the heart. And we should embrace it and kiss it. And touching with the eyes. And loving it. And looking at the words. And we'll give everything for the Qur'an. This should become the basis, the foundation of our life success. What? The Qur'an. Then see the love of the Qur'an, how it will come, subhanAllah. Every path will come, will emanate from the Qur'an. Every barakah will come from the Qur'an. Do we promise? True promise? Okay. Recite Durood Sharif.